It's impossible for Maud Findlay to go braless. It's impossible.
Evening, Maud.
Oh, hi, honey. Sweetheart, I haven't seen you all day. Don't I write a kiss?
Not now, Maud. Ever since lunch, I've had a caraway seed stuck in my back tooth that's driving me crazy. With this, of course. You know I can never find anything in that cabinet.
Honey, it's on the right-hand side. I always very carefully put everything pertaining to dental hygiene in the same place.
Since when?
Since the morning you gargled with my Lydia Pinkham. Oh, and honey, would you hurry it up? Arthur's dropping by, and I invited Barry over for cocktails.
Barry? Barry Witherspoon? Not Barry Witherspoon. You can't mean Barry Witherspoon, Maud. Not again, not again.
I knew you'd be pleased.
Conceited, pompous windbag is coming over again tonight?
Yeah, Arthur wants to meet him. He's read his book. Oh, but Vivian can't make it. She's gone to the dog show with her dog, Chuck.
Since when does she enter Chuck in dog shows?
She doesn't, dear. Chuck likes to watch. Leave it to Vivian to have a wire-haired voyeur.
Well, that's where I should go. I'd rather watch a bunch of dogs sitting and healing than listen to Barry.
Good idea, Walter. Maybe you'll learn how to roll over and play dead. I think I'd get a lot more sleep that way.
Promise me I would never have to go through another evening with that egotistical know-it-all.
Know-it-all? Walter, the man has just written a best-selling novel.
It's only a bestseller in Tuckahoe. And that's because you personally nagged half the town into buying his lousy book.
Walter, you are a small man. A very small man. You are an American bonsai. It just so happens that Barry is a fascinating human being, and you would know that if you had read his book, as I asked you to, instead of those dumb sports articles.
They're not dumb!
Joe Namath tells how to make love with your helmet on.
He got 5 commercials that way, Maud.
And 2 bad knees.
I'm sick of Barry coming over and putting me down every time I open my mouth.
Walter, that's Barry, honey. He does that with everyone. Personally, I find it refreshing.
Damn, the dental floss people never tell you that a grown man can't possibly shove 4 fingers into his mouth without breaking his jaw. Will you do it for me?
Sweetheart, when we were married, I promised to love, honor, and cherish. I don't remember anything about removing food particles from between your teeth.
Okay, Maud. I'll spend the entire night sucking my teeth like this. Is that what you want out of our marriage, Maud, huh? This?
You know, Walter, there is such a simple way of using dental floss. It really amazes me that you don't know how.
Yeah? Okay, Maud, how?
You'll find a needle in my sewing box. Now, string the dental floss through the eye of the needle the way you would thread. You want your glasses, Walter, or does crossing your eyes turn you on?
I can see it. Now what?
All right. Now, put 2 fingers of your left hand inside your mouth. Now hold the needle with your right hand. Now stick the needle in your right ear. Carefully pass it down the ear canal.
Very funny, Maud.
You see, Walter, I did that deliberately. Now, that was far more vicious than anything Barry's ever done, and you don't hate me, you love me. Right, Walter? Hello? Oh, hi, Barry. What? You're going to be a little late? No, that's all right. I invited Dr. Harmon over for cocktails. Yeah, he read your book, and he's dying to meet you. Then I thought that just you, Walter, and I would go out for dinner. Look, Barry, I'm sorry. What you hear is Walter's famous imitation of Jacques Cousteau getting the bend.
Walter, please! I can't hear over that racket.
Yeah, hello again. Oh, Barry. Barry. God will get you for that, Walter. Yeah, listen, don't worry. I promise you we'll just have a very quiet evening. Okay, bye-bye.
Maud, we are not having dinner with that guy tonight. I told you I can't stand him. Guy gets some special pleasure reminding me that I didn't graduate high school. like last time in front of everybody, giving me that lecture on the difference between infer and imply, as if I didn't know.
Oh, come on now, Walter. He just gets impatient with ninnies who constantly misuse those words.
Are you inferring I'm a ninny?
Of course not, sweetheart. I'm implying you're a ninny. You were inferring. Oh, another thing, Walter, you don't have to worry about having dandruff on your tonsils. This time you were gargling with my Head and Shoulders.
What have you got there?
Oh, this is Mr. Witherspoon's novel. I see you're reading it too, Carol. I want to see if I can get him to sign my copy.
I collect autographs, too. My prize is Sigmund Freud.
You really met Freud?
Met him. He was my analyst.
Sigmund Freud analyzed you?
Well, he wanted to. But I live by one rule in life. Never trust a doctor who has a couch in his office.
Go ahead. Leave me with a house full of people. Go ahead. I am.
I definitely am. I'm not going to spend another evening with Barry Witherspoon. That's it.
For heaven's sake, Walter, what could be wrong with spending an evening with a famous author like Barry Witherspoon? You know, last week, he had his picture in the Woman's Wear Daily.
What kind of dress was he modeling?
Walter, that was a prejudiced remark.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Walter. Didn't you hear yourself? The reason you dislike Barry is because subconsciously you resent the fact that he's a homosexual.
I don't resent anyone being a homosexual.
Neither do I. I adore gay people. Much more fun than bullfighters.
What I do resent is your accusation.
Wait a minute. You mean this Witherspoon is,
Yes, but that has nothing to do with anything. Once you get to know him, you'll love him.
Can't we just be friends?
Walter, I can expect a remark like that from Arthur. But you, I mean, I'm shocked to find out that you have a hang-up.
What are you talking
about? Oh, come on, Walter, you're ill. Outside, you're Mr. Nice Guy. Inside, super jock.
I resent that. What a terrible thing to say.
What's all the fuss about? Just because a man's homosexual? We think quite highly of them in England. Our government's full of them. The only one where positive isn't a queen is the queen.
Mrs. Nolitak, I just hate remarks like that. I'm beginning to realize I am the only person here who is not prejudiced.
Mother, you can't say that about me. I dated a guy that was gay.
Really? Why?
He was a marvelous dancer, and he did my hair for half price.
But you said it anyway. Oh, Carol, don't you understand? You put homosexuals in a different category.
Well, at least I don't do that. It doesn't make any difference to me what a person is. Although I'm not surprised about this Witherspoon. After all, he's a writer.
Oh, and all authors are homosexual, right, Arthur? I suppose Eugene O'Neill was gay.
Oh, I was different. He was Irish.
What has being Irish got to do with it?
Are you trying to tell me the Notre Dame football team isn't straight?
I don't believe this.
Oh, that's because the Notre Dame football team is Polish.
You see, you all have problems. To me, Barry Witherspoon is just a sensitive, warm human being. And as far as I'm concerned, I would just like to drop the entire conversation.
Sure you would. The only reason you're so friendly with him is because Barry is your personal homosexual. You're prejudiced in reverse.
You're not serious, Walter.
Of course. Why didn't I think about it before? Some people show off their new cars or their new house. You show off Barry.
Walter, that's hilarious.
Stop laughing.
Well, you know, I hate it when you laugh like
that. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. This is the first good laugh I've had since Ford got into the White House, and you said, thank God, now we'll get straight talk.
Maud, you know that I am right about you and Barry. He's your proof that you're the big liberal, completely unbiased.
Come Walter, are you actually inferring that I'm that shallow?
No, you're inferring. I'm implying.
That's what is so petty about you, Walter. You learn one dumb thing and then you lord it over everything.
I reserve the right to dislike any person, gay or not, when he's a rotten human being. I mean, just because Carol, Arthur, and Mrs. Norgatuck have a hang-up, that doesn't
mean...
They
have a hang-up!
What are you talking about?
You have more hang-up!
Why don't you
have more hang-up than any...
Wait,
listen!
Another word about it! You hear me? Not another word tonight! And I mean that! And especially from you! Not a word!
Barry, darling!
Oh, boy, what a day. I can't tell you how I've been looking forward to a nice, quiet evening with Fred.
Oh, you've come to the right place.
So on the back of the card, he wrote, "Soul George Bernard Shaw." I want to tell you all that this is one of the nicest evenings I've had. Maud, it is a pleasure to be in your house. You're a very lucky man, Walter.
Walter, did you hear what Barry said? You're a very lucky man. You'll have to excuse him, Barry.
Thanks, Maud.
He's in one of his silent moods. He doesn't want to talk.
Really? Then you're a very lucky woman, Maud.
No, actually, he was trying to pick his teeth with dental floss and accidentally sewed his lips together.
Oh, Maud, now tell the story about the wide-mouthed frog.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on, Maud.
No, that's silly. No, you tell it.
No, you tell it better than I do. Come on, tell it.
Let's hear it. Oh, all right. Well, see, there was this wide-mouthed frog, see, and it was going to have a new baby, and it didn't know what to feed it. Oh, come on, Barry. All right, so this wide-mouthed frog went up to a giraffe, and it said, "What do you feed your baby?" The giraffe said, "I feed my baby grass." Thank you. And then this wide-mouthed frog went up to a monkey, and it said, "What do you feed your baby?" And the monkey said, "Bananas." Wait, Arthur, there's more. He said, "Thank you." And then the wide-mouthed frog went up to a lion, and it said, "What do you feed your baby?" And the lion said, "Wide-mouthed frogs."
Ooh, really?
I told you it was silly.
Yeah, but you make it funny, Maud.
Yep, we heard this last Sunday at a luncheon for Barry.
Oh, boy, that luncheon. I don't know how I'd get through those luncheons without Maud. Oh,
now, this was something. The chairperson opened the meeting by singing, "When the moon comes over the mountain." She was 5 feet two and had a 63-inch chest. And she could really project.
She had to get the moon over those mountains.
Very funny. I heard that joke back in the third grade.
Oh? You got that far?
I may not have as much education as you, Barry, buddy, but I learned it all out there where it counts.
I know, in the school of hard knocks.
Maud.
Walter. Hey, Tank, before I forget, I want to get a picture of all of us together to hang on my celebrity wall in my rubber's room.
Celebrity wall? Who are the other celebrities?
So three of his patients who survived.
Not true, Marty. I have Andy Granatelli and Dr. Jonas Salk's nephew in a bathing suit. Mrs. Nogatuck.
You called, sir?
Yeah, would you help us take a picture, please?
Would I? I'd be delighted.
Good, now everybody...
Come on now, Walter. Nobody loves a party pooper.
And you've just looked through that little opening there?
Please, you're talking to the person who learnt the art of photography from Alexander Graham Bell himself.
Mrs. Nogatuck, he invented the telephone.
Of course. So he could call me up and tell me how to use the camera. Everybody everybody group in front of the bar there, all together. That's it. No, that's not right. Mrs. Finlay, would you mind changing over with that Harold, please? All right. And Doctor, would you mind changing with Mr. Finlay?
Well, I wanted to stand
up. That's all right. That's all right. I'll autograph it.
No, that's not right either. Would you all go back to your original positions? The tall one must be in the middle. Mrs. Finlay.
Mrs. Northertuck, will you get on with it?
Oh, all right. No need to get snippy. Now then, now, wait a minute. Here. Would you ladies just move in a little bit, please? And the gentlemen's, would you squeeze in just a little bit more?
Oh, come on, Walter. Yeah. How's this? Don't worry, Walter. I never make passes at men with mustaches. Oh, you got the Dorothy Parker reference.
Well, of course I did, Heaven. I loved it. Didn't you, Walter?
No, I didn't.
Why is Walter in such a bad mood?
Now, you hit a sore point with his mustache. It's molding.
Walter, what is the matter with you? Barry was just making a little joke. I have made dozens of jokes about your mustache. You just don't like it coming from Barry because of what he is.
I have nothing against what he is, and you know it.
Please, Walter, right? You cannot stay here in the kitchen. What'll I tell Barry?
Tell him I'm whipping up a batch of fudge.
Not funny, Walter. That is not funny.
My favorite numbers.
Oh, Mrs. Naugatuck, bug off.
No respect for the photographer. A female Frank Sinatra, you are.
Now, look, Walter, we both know what is bothering
you. Look, Walter, if you tell me one more time what's
Walter,
bothering... Listen, Walter, I'm not going to go out there and get insulted again.
Look, I promise you, Walter, everything will be all right. Listen, I give you my solemn oath. He will not insult you again. My solemn oath, Walter.
Good.
Thank you,
Barry. Barry, I'm sorry I behaved so bad.
Badly, Walter. Should have learned that even in the School of Hard Knocks.
Bad guys!
Please
don't.
With your mouth full. It's impolite.
Come on, put up your
dukes. This is
going to
be a good
one. For heaven's sakes. Take a look at the size of the man. Think of your reputation. You'll be knocked out by a sissy.
Arthur, will you leave me alone?
Arthur, leave. It's time for you to leave.
If anybody wants a doctor, I'll be at a dog show.
Carol?
Yes,
upstairs.
Mother? Will you come up later and tuck me in?
Up!
You know what I think?
No, what do you think?
Well, I think I'll go back into the kitchen and count my blessings.
Walter, you've been trying to make a fool of yourself all night. You might as well finish the job.
Barry, I'm going to throw you out of my house. But only because I don't like you as a person.
I can understand that.
You can?
Oh, well, of course he understands, Walter. You're so obvious.
It's not that, Maud.
Hey, wait a minute. Calm down, you two. Look, Walter, I realize that I'm unreasonable and quite difficult to get along with. I tend to pick on you because you're so defensive. But it's part of my charm.
Barry, you're such a rascal.
Maud's been helping me with my book. We're together so much. We like each other so much. This was bound to happen.
Wait a minute, Barry. What was bound to happen?
It's a classic case. The jealous husband.
The jealous husband?
I fill a need in her that you can't possibly fill. You're afraid that I'm, for want of better words, her intellectual lover. I have a little corner of your wife.
Of course, that's it, Walter. You're jealous. Oh, I love you.
Maybe I am.
Of course, you're just not tuned in enough to know it.
Oh, honey, you are jealous. But you silly Billy, this is all so unnecessary. I mean, imagine being jealous of Barry.
What's so funny, Maud?
I mean, you and me. Oh, I wish I was dead.
We're dead, Maud. As far as our relationship goes, that could be the case.
Oh, now, come on, Barry. You know I didn't mean that. Barry, you know me. I don't have a biased bone in my body.
That's right. They're all in your head. You know, it's not Walter. It's you. You're just another one of those guilt-ridden liberals that can't enjoy anything, not even your own prejudices.
Now, wait just a minute, Barry. I'm getting angry now.
You're getting angry?
Yes, you're darn right I'm getting angry. You call yourself my friend. You've known me all these months. Now you tell me that I have a hang-up about your homosexuality? Well, let me tell you something, Mary. Barry.
Maud, about the hang-up you don't have, please, let it bother you. Let it bother the hell out of you.
Oh, Walter. Oh, I am so humiliated. Oh, Walter, what have I done? Walter, what have I done?
Just one thing, darling. You've learned that we all have biases, and we simply have to recognize them and deal with them as good as we can.
As well as we can, Walt.
Underneath, I know I am a tolerant person.
You are. You just have a little hang-up. But, sweetheart, you have less hang-ups than anyone I know.
Oh, Walter, I promise you I will die before I say anything derogatory about anybody again.
Walter. Look, maybe you'll feel better if we go out and have a good dinner. Or a well dinner.
All right, honey. Maybe so.
Good. What do you feel like eating? French, Italian, Spanish?
No, why don't we just go down to Wong Fu's and eat chinks?
What you reading, Maud?
Oh, Joe Namath's article on how to make love with your helmet on.
Sinking down to my level, sweetheart?
Walter, I'll make a deal with you. I'll go out and get you a helmet on one condition.
What's that?
That you go out and get me Joe Namath.